Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, May 23rd. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 28, starting with the first paragraph at the top of the page there. Here was the terrible dilemma through two paragraphs ending a design for living that really works, and the comments will be on both. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Peggy M., the 12 Traditions, Alice G., and the readers of the text are John K., Kaylee R., and Melanie C. will be our backup person. The share ID for Wednesday, May 22nd, is 12,941. That's 12941, and for Thursday, today, May 23rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,947. That's 12947, and our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R., and the announcements is Janice P.M. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Peggy M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. This is Peggy M. from Illinois, recovered today. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a great day.
And thank you, Peggy M. I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, all. This is Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 28 at the top of the page. Here was the terrible dilemma, reading through two paragraphs, ending with a design for living that really works. And I will now ask John Kay to get us started. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mo. My name is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Here's the terrible dilemma in which our friend found himself when he had the extraordinary experience, which, as we have already told you, made him a free man. We, in turn, sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or, if you prefer, a design of living which really works. You know, this is one of the things I love about Vision and these kind of meetings where we go through the Big Book a paragraph at a time, because I went to loads of meetings that were called Big Book meetings, and we would read, you know, sometimes the whole chapter, sometimes many, many pages. The thing is that the Big Book has one or two paragraphs that have just chock full of things, and these are two of them. You know, the three things that stick out at me is with all the desperation of drowning men, and then, you know, what seemed at first a flimsy reed, and then a design for living that really works. You know, this whole idea with the desperation of drowning men, it's coupled with, you read in how it works, willing to go to any lengths, half measures availed with nothing. You know, that is the key, you know, to have the desperation to come in and just throw your hands up and go, okay, I give up. Tell me what to do. I've been trying this for my whole life. It ain't work. I'm willing to try something. And it's hard with this disease. I share that this disease is very hard. I see lots of people, and I was one of them, who come in, dip a toe in the water, you know, or even stay around, but are not willing to do what's above, you know, the willing to go to any lengths to be that way. And the trouble is that compulsive eating, I've always said it's so hard because it doesn't necessarily deliver that same body slam that other addictions do. It makes you uncomfortable enough to know you should do something about it, but not always uncomfortable enough to go to any lengths to have the desperation of drowning men, you know? And I know when I was in this, I wanted it. I wanted the recovery I saw everybody have. But I was, you know, I was a drowning man who sees this flimsy reed that could save me. And I'm like, hey, I don't like the looks of that reed. If you got a better one, if you got something a little different, oh yes, I'm drowning. But is there a way I can grab the reed but still stay in the water a little? You know, I was negotiating, you know, and that's because that was my disease. My disease, you know, was negotiating. I heard somebody say, you know, you can't negotiate with your disease because it'll always win. And it was definitely true. But the key is, and it says it here over and over, you know, to be that willing to go to any lengths and to pretend you're a drowning person. Maybe you haven't hit that point where you're so horribly, you know, down to be that point, but you can pull that bottom up to wherever you are. And then the other one is a design for living that really works. You know, I'm back in school getting to become a drug and alcohol counselor, and one of the things we had to learn about is a lot of other programs besides AA. And, you know, they're all geared towards stopping drinking, and all of them, but almost none of them do anything past that. And you know, I learned a long time ago, nothing changes if nothing changes. And that's what this program does. It says, okay, you got the food down, Reba, but here's how to live the rest of your life so you don't want to. And to be honest, this is my feeling. I don't want to eat today, but I also don't want to eat today. And that's what the Design of Living gives us. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John Kay, for getting us started. And I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're at on page 28, starting with the first paragraph on the page. Here was a terrible dilemma, ending with a design for living that really works. And I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Ginger C.
Ginger.
Lisa B.
Lisa B.
Miriam,
I got you. Who was after
Lance
Miriam?
L.
Lance L. Who was after Lance?
Pam M.
Say that again.
Pam M.
Dan M. Okay. Anyone else? Oh, Pam, I got you, Pam. I got so far Ginger C, Lisa B, Miriam Rifka, Lance L, Pam M. Anyone else?
Joanne B.
Joanne B. I will stop there. All right. Ginger C, Lisa B, Miriam Rifka H, I think it is, Lance L, Pam M, and Joanne B. Ginger, get us started. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, and thank you. This is Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love this. John just so beautifully brought it to life, but it is. It's so power-packed, and I'm just going to focus in on a design for living that really works. And my entire life was stuck on XXVI when the doctor so beautifully tells us that we're maladjusted to life. And I feel like I was maladjusted even in utero with an alcoholic mother pouring down lots of booze as I was trying to grow. But the bottom line is life kept presenting me with new information, and I did not like it. I did not like it at all. I wanted life on Ginger's terms. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to know, and that is not what it's about. And thank God for these clear-cut directions, this design for living that really works, even in rough going. That first and foremost, I no longer need to kill myself in food so that when the pain presses in, I press on today with a higher power. I don't say, okay, I'm done. This is too scary. This is too much. I've had enough. I'm eating. And until that back door really shuts and you really concede to your innermost self, you give this credit where it's due because it is life and death. And it's where it had to go for me. I had 20 years of relapse because I had some pain and I had some weight gain. But it wasn't enough. I wasn't convinced. It wasn't smashed. And it takes what it takes. And if you don't get step one, it's your foundation. It's going to crumble out from under your feet and you'll be eating in just a matter of time. But once you get it and you're really surrendered and you're really done, and like so many people have said, this program of action, willing to go to any lengths for victory over this. My buddy tells me, Ginger, you better work it harder today than you did yesterday. And I haven't stopped since I left Virginia Beach. But it
absolutely does work. First and foremost, I'm not eating and I'm doing so happily. That's when I knew that flimsy read was a lot more than just a flimsy read. Because all I knew was white-knuckled abstinence, and it sucked. I hated it. It's like, if this is what you get, forget it. I'm eating. And to be free and to be neutral, something was going on, and it was exciting. And I wanted more, so I just kept persevering. I kept pressing into this work. And then this relationship met with this God, not only believing it, but relying upon it. 100%. God is everything or God is nothing. And how am I making that higher power that today? Where am I agnostic in my life? Right here, right now. Why am I not trusting and believing? So thank God for this design for living, because I get to show up to a work, to a job. Oh my God, I could never do work. It scared the crap out of me. No matter what's going on, I can show up to this thing called life and not only go through it, but I'm growing through it with a loving care of a higher power.
Time.
So grateful to be here. Thanks so much.
And thank you, Ginger C. Lisa B., followed by Miriam Rifka H. Lisa.
Yes, good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. And just to save any confusion, I spell my name L-E-S-A. I love this reading. I love the word design for living. And that really works. So when I hear really works, that means that there's going to be fruit. There's going to be a harvest. And how wonderful is that? Once again, I'm trying to convey in words this experience that I've had, and it's so hard to try and share my experience in words because it's such a deep emotional, spiritual, and physical, and every change that's happened. I want to share for me today where I am with this line, a design for living that really works, and it's about practicing love and kindness and how hard that can be. It's very difficult for me because I wake up consumed with myself, and I love that saying, I may not be much, but I'm all I think about, and that's something I'm confronted with every day, just that bondage of self, and I love having a design for living that really works, and it's about getting out of myself. When I get uncomfortable and restless and irritable, it's always my relationship with my higher power I have to look at. But so much of that growth with my higher power is about working with others, but not only sponsees, but just people in the world and learning how to be kind. I know this sounds probably strange to a lot of people, but learning how to be kind is a new concept for me because I can be very judgmental in my mind. I can be very impatient. And working with others is teaching me how to be loving and kind. And working with others, I mean my fellow brothers and sisters in the whole world, you know, people on the road, people in the stores, people that call me to sell me things, and they're just doing their job. Learning how to be kind and not rude and cut people off, it's just a whole new way of living. And that's kind of where I am today. And I love what the first speaker just now said about where am I today, you know, not where I was, you know, a few years ago when I came in my step one experience, but where am I today. And the ego continues to rebuild itself. And just sometimes I can get bored, you know, in my life or in my program. And I need to always be looking at what am I doing to help someone else. Because I'm really good at sitting quietly and meditating and journaling and praying. But I really find that growth comes in interacting and working with others and being kind. That's what I'm really looking at. I need my higher power to help me with that because I just naturally go to self. So that's what I wanted to share. And I'm enjoying the fruits of being a recovered person. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. with an E. Miriam Rifka H., followed by Lance L. Miriam Rifka.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. It's Miriam Rifka H. in New Jersey. And I'm loving this air. Thank you, everybody who is contributing here. You know, I thought I was thinking about one thing originally, and everyone's just bringing out these other points that I hadn't even thought of. What first stuck out to me is what seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. And I always want to share this in case there's anyone else that's having the same experience that I had. But I came here desperate. You know, I had tried all these diets and my weight was creeping up and up and up and my life was miserable and I couldn't stop eating and I was always in a bad mood and I always had a food hangover. And they said that OA works when nothing else does. So I came here and finally I got the message that the big secret to the OA program is God. And I was like, you have to be kidding. That's not going to work here, you know, and especially someone like me who had been religious my whole life. And I was just like, this is not the place for me. Like, this, you know, like I know all about God. I've been practicing religion. And guess what? My life is still horrible and I still can't stop eating. Sorry about that. But I have to say that now looking back, what seems at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. I have come to know a higher power that I did not know before. And, you know, I should say I came to know my higher power in a totally different way and deeper, more intimate way. And I'm grateful to see him working in my life. The other thing that came to me listening to everyone else talking is, right, like this powerful hand of God and this new design for living that really works. So when I first came in, you know, I was looking at the big stuff. It's like, I'm trying to think. It's kind of like if you have like a big wreckage and first you have these big pieces of like wood and metal and you clear all those out and those are the most obvious things. And then you start sifting through the little stuff at the bottom. And one thing that God showed me this week is that I am very inconsiderate with strangers, and particularly in my driving. I'm an inconsiderate driver, and this has come to light for me. And I recognize it, and it's something that I'm starting to work on now to be a one among many when I'm driving on the road. And the most beautiful thing is that I feel like since I started to look at this area and try to behave more as God would have me be. He's presented other opportunities for me to be of service to people around me, and that's just been a surprise. And I see my time is up, so I will pass, and I look forward to the other share. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Miriam Rifka. Lance L., followed by Pam M. Lance.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lance L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from California. I welcome everybody on the line. Whether you're struggling, recovered, suffering, I mean, everybody's welcome here, you know, and I felt that in the beginning as well, that even though I didn't speak up, you know, I'm still a part of this program, and, you know, reaching out is very important. So, you know, it's amazing how when you live in the sunlight of the Spirit, what I mean by that is being recovered. Things are revealed to you each and every day. And I've read over these things in this chapter before. And, you know, I want to focus on this idea of a drowning man. You know, it popped in my head when I was young. I remember hearing stories of you know, we had a pool party and I was a toddler and slipped into the pool and nobody noticed until my mom finally jumped in and got me. Well, at that point I wasn't struggling. I wasn't a drowning man. I was not conscious of what was going on. I was actually just sitting on the bottom of the pool, losing air gradually, right? Drowning gradually without struggling. And, you know, as I got older, I realized that, hey, when I go into water, I need my air, so I can't stay under very long. And there was a time in my life where a young boy held me underwater at the bottom of the pool, and I was struggling to get up because I knew I needed air. And from that point on, once I realized that I needed to recover when drowning, I got into swimming lessons, and I started to learn how to swim, and gradually I became a lifeguard and so on. And that story is exactly how I found Overeaters Anonymous and came from a point of not even having a clue that I had a problem to struggling and suffering and needing a breath of fresh air every single morning, and finally having some sort of lesson, which I find in these 12 steps, that I can finally learn how to swim through life. And it's a beautiful thing that that I have here today. And you know, I have trainers. I have mentors in this program. You know, these people that you hear on the line, they are wide open to talk to. You know, and I used to be afraid, like I'm not going to have anybody that relates to me. I'm not going to know anybody. You know, these people are on the East Coast. I've never met them. They're all over the world, in Canada and different places like that. And you know, it is just not going to work out for me. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. I had to give it a shot, and now I'm recovered because I started that. I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lance L. Pam M., followed by Joanne B. Pam?
Good morning, everyone. I'm so grateful to listen to these words this morning. I have Pam M. from upstate New York recovering. And I have a men's scheduled today, and you know, I woke up this morning in terrible pain, and I was thinking, oh, that'd be a great excuse to cancel this. And you know, what am I drowning in this morning? I'm drowning in self-pity, and I'm using the program. I realize I'm using the program like a flimsy reed, and I'm not tapping into the power. I'm not using that reed like a strong, open reed that connects me directly to my God line. And, you know, I need to trust that I'm going to have the words that I need to say, and God's going to bless me with this grace. And it's not about me. Not about me and my self-pity and what this other person's going to think about me from my amends. It's about getting free. It's about getting oxygen and, you know, not drowning in guilt and shame and owning my own stuff. And I'm just so grateful for this program and for this Design for Living and, you know, listening to the fellowship has given me strength and inspiration this morning, and it was just what I needed so that I can find that trust and serenity and move forward with this step 9 process. So thank you so much, everyone, and with that I pass. Namaste.
Thank you, Pam M. And before I take Joanne B., I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 28, starting with the first paragraph there. Here was the terrible dilemma, and reading through two paragraphs, ending with a design for living that really works. And after Joanne, I'll take some more names. So good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Mo. This is Joanne B. from Texas, and what a beautiful morning it is. I thank everyone for being on the line and for comments. You blessed me so much in helping me grow. Sometimes you're my higher power with skin on, and for that I'm grateful. This reading reminded me of my moment when I sought escape with all the desperation of a drowning woman. Being under that blanket and hiding because I didn't want to face the morning, and thinking to my higher power, you know, I remember crying out, God, what do I do? Where do I go? I can remember that desperation. And I remember coming in by accident through the doors of another fellowship because a friend invited me to go to one of her meetings. And I'm sitting in there thinking, wow, this is what I need. This is what I do with my food. Oh my goodness. But I didn't know anything about OA. I didn't remember about OA. And as I'm driving home from my visit, I recall someone saying something years ago about OA, and I start searching on the internet, and I find a phone meeting, and I get in there, and someone calls me after the meeting and says, you need to go to a vision for you. And I'm thinking, okay. So I call in, and for a couple weeks, I'm listening to the meetings, and I'm still not figuring out the technology of how to get on to a real live call. So I finally get on, and I find a sponsor, and I find this new life, and it really does work. It is so amazing. And one of the reasons I got on this morning is because during the night I had a dream. I had a food dream, and it was amazing to be dreaming about this food that I haven't eaten in 2 years, and I could taste it, I could smell it, I had all of those feelings that I had when I was in it, and I woke up and I thought, okay, this is a warning, Joanne, this is a warning. You need to check out what are you doing or not doing that's getting you in a dangerous place, because you don't want to go there. And I'm so grateful for my fellows who share their stories every day so that I don't have to go back. I can be reminded, and then I can share my story, and I can be reminded, oh yeah, that's me. I'm here, and thank God that I have you. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing, Joanne B. And the line's now open for those who'd like to share.
Jackie H.
Leah.
Jackie
Leah S.
H.
Wendy M.
S.
Sherry KB.
Sherry, who was after Leah?
Sherry KB.
I got you.
Donna B.
Wait. Donna B. Donna B. Gotcha.
Jean J.
Wendy M.
Jean J.
Patty T.
Patty T. I think we'll stop there. So I have Jackie H, Leah S, Dana B, Sherry KB, Jean J, I think it was, and Patty T. Oh, it was Wendy M. Where's Wendy M? All right. I didn't get you, Wendy, but I'll see if we can get you in there. Jackie H, you're on. Jackie H. Press star 1 to unmute. Wendy.
Oh, sorry, I was talking to myself. Good morning. This is Jackie H. Recovered in Colorado and so glad to be here. Thank you all for your service. I want to focus on the design for living because I did not have a design for living. I don't remember from the very, as far back as I can remember that I even knew there was such a thing. I just kind of flew by the seat of my pants. And I was in a family who was dysfunctional, so I didn't have any real models, and that's not their fault, and I don't hold that on them. I've done a lot of healing around that, but bottom line, I did not know. And so my design for living was to get everything that I could get. I was very selfish. I thought that everything revolved around me and that everything was about me. And so as you can tell, that I wasn't a very happy person. And I certainly looked outside of myself all the time to find that ease and comfort that I so wanted. And when I came into OA in July, I was at my wit's end because I had struggled with food for so long and never could find a solution, was just so tired. Just tired. I don't know that I was drowning, but I was sure tired. And, you know, this book seemed too simple for me. It really did. The simplicity of it over the years, I'd been introduced to 12-step before. And so I had to make things difficult, and I wanted to look in other places. But when I came in here, I honestly had to set everything aside that I knew about God, that I knew about this program, just like our prayer tells us. But I seriously had to do that. And I seriously had to really, really look at my beliefs that were causing me
so much pain and suffering. And when I put the food down, of course, my mind became clear and I got some clarity. And today, my higher power looks so different than it used to. And just like somebody mentioned this morning, it was something so simple as, how do I treat telemarketers when they call me on the phone? You know, we get so irritated at them. But one day I picked up the phone and I, you know, God just told me to be kind to this person. And so I don't do that anymore. I don't pick up the phone and I don't hang up on them and I'm not, I don't know, just these little simple things. And probably the best place where I am right now is, or the most recovery I have around here is that things are not about me. There, I get to give and give and give. I have an abundance of energy and time and monetary things that I give and I give because it's all going to come back to me. And to share this program, I mean, the selfishness is still there. I'm, as long as I'm in this flesh and bone, that's probably going to be there. But I know today, and I know today that I, thank you, that if I embrace this program, share it with other people, depend on my higher power, I am safe and secure today, and I am so grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Leah S., followed by Wendy M. Leah.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for this wonderful meeting. Everybody, Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn. So what do I do when I have these cravings? You know, summer's coming up and everybody's taking off their coats and sweaters and sweatshirts and it's the real thing. And not only is it the real thing, but the real temptations come up around. And my goodness, how do I do that? How do I really do that? And I have no issues, let's say, you know, I'm telling my sponsor, I have no issues around them. I just feel tempted towards those foods, and those foods are really not good for me. I know that intellectually, but what am I going to do? You know what my sponsor told me, and I'm going to share it with you. The intensity that you feel for those foods, the craving that overtakes you, Leah, when you see that brown square or that whatever it is, with that intensity, turn to your higher power. And don't be afraid to say, hey, I'm about to sin. I'm about to take this piece that is not really good for me. Don't be afraid to say that. But when you hear yourself say that, you'll say, but the truth is, I really don't want to. I don't want to have those. But this is so powerful and so overcoming that there's nothing else that can really help me except you, dear God. It's got to be a miracle for me to walk by today so many places, go into places and not even think about them. That is a miracle, but that's what happens if you turn to your higher power. Just want to tell you a little bit more about that turning into the higher power. You know, if it's, you know, getting dark ready and you're walking into your house and you know where your kitchen is, you know where everything is, and you just walk in and then you trip over something, whatever it is, and you knew where you're going and yet you tripped, how much more easier would it have been if you would have put that light switch on and you would have seen that there's a little toy over there in the hallway where you wanted to walk through. And that's what it is, turning that light switch, turning to that higher power and getting it and finally doing it only with his power, through his grace. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Yeah, perfect timing, Leia. Thank you. Wendy M., followed by Sherry K.B. Wendy.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Mo, for your service. Everybody on the line. So grateful to be on the line with all of you today. And, you know, the first word is desperation. I remember people saying you have to have the gift of desperation. And when the disease is in my voice and I'm swimming in it, it sounds right. It sounds right to pick up that food. It makes sense. I have reasons for it, you know. And when I got that gift of desperation and put down my foods, I was entirely abstinent and entirely at peace. But the key here is not that I knew that I had to do that, but that I had to do it and that I did it. Anytime I take an action, it's like jumping off a cliff and trusting that God has a net. There is a net for me. Yesterday, I gave up another addiction, and it was horrific and awful. And the minute I got entirely abstinent with it, I got peace and serenity and relief. But I had to take the action. It can't just be that I know I need to put down the brownies. It's that I put down the brownies. The action must come first. That was my experience. I had to be desperate enough. I had to be miserable enough. I had to try 14,000 different ways to control it before I had to say, you know what, cry uncle, I cannot do this. I am entirely and totally powerless, and I must surrender. But surrender is an action. It's not an idea that I have. And by taking an action and getting entirely abstinent, that's where the freedom comes. And the other thing I want to say is design for living. I love that. I often say, if you have diabetes, you take, you know, medication for it, insulin, but it doesn't give you a design for living. The insulin does not instruct me on how to be in the world. And the brilliant part of this program is not just that we put down the substance or the addiction or whatever it is that we're seeking, but that we then get to learn how to be in the world. How do I treat you? How do I treat myself? How do I treat others? This program gives me a design. It says,
what's that noise?
You're going to walk through the world. And that is the greatest gift, aside from being neutral to the food. It's the greatest gift of the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Sorry for the background noise. Sherry KB, followed by Jean J. Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line and Team Thursday. And welcome newcomers and people who are suffering on these lines. For all of us, people that are suffering in and out of the rooms of this program. You know, I'm just going to dive right in here, no pun intended. I just, you know, for me, that flimsy read, which to me is just, when I first was in this program, I thought I had it licked. I thought I knew what I was doing. You know, it was all self-will run riot. It was the Sherry Show. It was, you know, self-will, self-reliance, which was the voice of my disease. And I had a relationship with God, but not to where I thought I would invite God in to deal with my disease. Because I got this thing, don't you know? And I'd been around a long time, so I wore my proud badge of being in the years in the program. But the truth was is that I wasn't being teachable. I thought I knew everything. I was a know-it-all. And what I've learned is to say, I don't know. And so when I started working with my step guide, I had to put aside all of my prejudices, what I thought I knew, even though I thought I knew more than she did. But that didn't matter because what was going on was I hadn't learned anything really because I was still in the disease. Disease in the mental twist, in the mental blank spot. You know, I'd put the food down. I was abstinent, but not happily and contently. And so, you know, I had to start relying on a power greater than myself, put my full reliance on a higher power greater than myself. And to me, the flimsy read was, you know, I thought my self-will was better than, you know, what God could do for me. How arrogant was I? And when I think about a design for living, especially that works in rough going, and it talks about that on page 15 on Bill's story, and it talks about that whenever we're troubled or whatever, that, you know, what gives us a mental uplift is to work with others, to be useful. And I can't tell you how many times stuff has gone on in my life. It will always go on in my life. I'm a human being. I'm always going to have problems. That's life. But the difference is that I got a new design for living that shows me how to walk through this stuff without picking up the food and relying on a power greater than myself and continuing to enlarge that spiritual life, however that is I choose to. But most of it for me is living in the steps, working the steps, having my nose in this book, working with others. And I just know that my higher power comes in, and when I'm working with others or I'm doing a 10th step, it's like a spiritual vacuum cleaner that sucks all that yuck between my ears out. And it is a design for living that works in rough going. There is such a place in my heart that I'm so grateful that I have this way of living now that is so far better than I ever had before when I was in the food and trying to do it my way. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And we have 5 minutes left, so Jean J, and Patty T, maybe take about 2 minutes each, a little bit over two, okay? Jean J. Press star 1, Jean, to unmute. Hello.
Here we go. Yeah, oh, sorry about that. Blathering on. Jean J. in Portland, Oregon. Thanks, everyone. This design for living that really works. Wow, really? Truly? And in my morning meditation today, my guided thing I use is the instruction is let everything be as it is and to listen and relax. And then the final sign-off, once you've listened and relaxed for a bit, is that that nature will naturally come into balance if I let it. That equanimity is the how the universe will come around right if I let it. And lo and behold, it matches so perfectly what we're talking about. All roads lead to Rome, right? And it just landed on me this morning between the meditation and our meeting here that it has been me. And me with my fierce fear and anger and terror for fill in the blank, you know. But here I've been going down the road of life, gripped on that steering wheel, pedal to the metal, and terrified on this rocky ride and just gripping harder, 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 harder. And the message I get from program, from this read today, from all the shares, from my meditation guide is that I got to scoot over to the passenger seat there and let my higher power drive. And that if I can begin to practice that over and over many times a day, that equanimity will happen because I will allow it. And that will be that's what the universe wants to do here.
Fine.
Thanks so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean J. And Patty T. You'll be our last share. Thank you, Patty.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Mo, for your service. And gosh, these shares this morning have been so powerful. I just want to remind myself about the terrible dilemma. You know, it started out, the terrible dilemma I thought was the food, the food, the food, back and forth in the food. But the terrible dilemma over the last 12 months that I've realized is my thinking, that black and white thinking that says something has to be perfect or it's nothing, that says, you know, all or nothing, all or nothing. And this design for living, this manual that we call the Blue Book, has taught me that God is everything or God is nothing. That's the only black and white element in this book. God is everything or God is nothing. So if I need to escape, to be relieved from that terrible dilemma, all I have to do is reach out my hand. That flimsy read comes sometimes in one of your shares, sometimes to someone making a kind suggestion, in the form of the sponsor, it always proves to be the loving and powerful hand of God. That's my experience. God is everything. I get to choose that today. Before, my terrible dilemma offered me no choice. And this program is hope. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Patty T., for keeping it short. And with that, we'll close our meeting. I want to thank all those who gave service, Peggy M., Alice G., John K., Kaylee R., and Melanie C., and our newcomer greeter will be Kaylee R., and Janice P.M. will be our announcement coordinator. And I will now ask Kaylee R. to read from the big book on page 164, Vision for You, and it'll be followed by the Serenity Prayer.
Hi, this is Kaylee R., recovered in Northern California. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you